Open your Bibles this morning. We're going to just quickly go through and have a review of what I've been teaching for some time. And I think this will be of interest to you because I believe that the church in general, in the United States particularly, has kind of dropped the ball as far as what we should be doing. And so therefore, I want to put it together today as best I can. Like for you look in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, please. And I think what we have neglected is what I'm going to be reading here in just a moment. And that's in Matthew 28 and verse 16. And most of you know this as the Great Commission. And that's exactly what it is. But I want to pray this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, strengthen us, Lord. Open our hearts to the Word of God. Make it so, Lord, that we'll not only hear the Word, we'll do the Word. And we'll become what you want us to be in this life as we prepare for the next. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew 28, 16, then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." In other words, Jesus said, "I'm in charge." Then secondly, he says, "Go you therefore, since I am in charge, and since you know me and you belong to me," I'm adding some things, "go ye therefore and make disciples," is actually what it says in the Greek. "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now I think one of the things that's happened is that people said, "Well, I'm not a missionary, I can't go to all nations, therefore God cannot use me," and that is not correct. Because God wants you to make disciples where you are. So one of our responsibilities of God is to make disciples in whatever situation, in whatever place God has put us. Even if you were a shut-in, you could have a ministry on the telephone. You could have a ministry of prayer. You can do whatever your circumstance is. God says, make disciples. And so that's what we're to do. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And there he said, they are not only to know the Word of God, but to do the Word of God. And I think one of the problems in the church today, particularly in the United States, is we have this idea we want to learn everything we can, but we're not doing it. And that's the problem. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Why aren't we doing it? And then it says, we're to teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of the age, even until the time you're with me, basically, is what he said. Now, we are to make disciples. And what a disciple is, you are going to make somebody just like you. I think that's another reason we don't do it. Because we don't think we're quite to the place where we want somebody to be like us. But that's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible, Jesus said to his disciples, his disciples were becoming like Jesus. Jesus said, be like me. Do what I'm doing. And so they began to be like him, and they began to be like do what he was doing. And then he said, now I want you to go out, and I want you to make people just like you. So the issue is, we're to become like Christ. And when we become like Christ, and we don't wait until we're perfect, because it never will be, but then when we become like Christ, we're to make other people like Christ, but we're supposed to be like Christ. We don't look like him, and we don't all have the same gifts as he did exactly. But the point is, We are to listen to God and hear from God and do what God's called us to do in whatever circumstance he puts us, once again. Now, I want you to look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. I'm just putting together what I've been teaching since the first of the year. I want to put it together so you can see what you have to shoot for, what God wants you to do. Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. There it is. He has predestinated you. He has called you. He has given you the ability to be like Christ. That's exactly what it says. So we are to be like him. Every single Christian is to be like Jesus. Now, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, the first among many just like him. That's what it says. Now, moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, there's a progression there of things that God wants to do in your life and mine. Very simply this, he wants us to come to him. He wants us to receive Christ. He wants us to be saved. He wants to come and live within our spirit. And then he wants to influence our soul. And it's in our soul where we're conformed to the image of Christ. In our soul is our mind, will, and emotions, and other things. But in our soul, we are to keep on becoming like Christ. That's what the Greek says. Keep on being like Christ. Continuously be like Jesus, particularly in your mind, because your mind controls everything. So your mind is the computer that runs everything in your whole system. So that's why the mind is very important. That's why the Bible talks a lot about renewing of the mind. And I'm going to talk about that briefly in a minute. Look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. We see, now, this is going to get down to the nitty-gritty of the whole matter. And so we need to, let's just look at it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This is what it says. This I say then, this is the Apostle Paul, he's speaking the word of God, and he says, this is what I want believers to do. Believers, if you believe in Christ, you're a believer. So here's what I want believers to do. It's not really complicated. He didn't give us a whole lot, 100 different things to do. He just said, do this. And this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you want to do. I'm sure every believer wants to do what Christ says, but there's something holding us up from doing it. And that's what he's saying here. He said, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he gives a whole list of stuff that is a work of the flesh. And what he says, and I believe these are categories of the work of the flesh. It's not the complete list. But what he says is, these things will hinder you, if you have them in your life, they will hinder you from following Jesus Christ. And then he gives the list, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That all has to do with sexual sin. Idolatry, that's worshiping things other than God. Sorcery, that has to do with drugs of various kinds. And witchcraft, that type of thing. Hatred, if you don't love your brother, you don't love your family, if you don't love whoever, that will hinder you from following Christ. Strife, if you have strife in your life, that'll hinder you from following Christ. If you have jealousy, it will hinder you from following Christ. This is why many of us do not follow Christ, is because we have these things in our life and we refuse to get rid of them. Wrath, that's anger. If you have an anger problem, it'll keep you from following Jesus. Factions, that means if you cause divisions with people, and that has all to do with complaining and gossip and all of that. Seditions, that's always being against those in authority. You always hate your boss. You always hate whoever's over you. Heresies, that's believing every weird thing about the Bible you ever heard anybody ever said. You don't know the truth. Envying, you envy what other people have. Murders. Now you say, I never murdered anybody. Well, if you've hated somebody, that's murder in your heart, according to God. Drunkenness, obviously. Revelings, and that's just partying all the time, not paying any attention to the Lord. And all the like, for which I tell you, as I have told you in times past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean, this is talking about work, so that doesn't mean you're not going to heaven if you're a Christian. But what it does mean, you're not going to inherit and you're not going to get rewards when you get there if you do not follow Christ here and you allow those things, which are the works of the flesh, if you allow those things to dominate your life, or that will hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. So, part of the problem is that people have gotten saved and they refuse to allow the Holy Spirit clean up their life. And then they say, you know, this Christian life just doesn't work. I pray and I don't get an answer. Or I want to love my family and want the best of my family, but things aren't working out. And it just goes on and on. Why is it? Because we have not cleared the giants in the land. I've had people, you know, I have this little chart. Grace and I counsel people, and we have this little thing we want people to fill out, and some people refuse to fill it out. I've heard everything from it's too personal to I don't want everybody to know everything about my life. Well, if that's your attitude, you will not follow Jesus Christ. I'll just tell you right now. It will not happen, because everybody has giants or demonic powers in their land when they get saved. And those things have to be removed. You can stop doing what you're doing that you know that's wrong, but you have to have the demon cast out. I've been telling people that time after time after time. I have been through deliverance, it's called. Grace has been through deliverance. You're not, and others here have been through deliverance. And if you want to follow Christ and it's not working, you're not growing, you're not moving on in the things of the Lord, it's usually because there are things that either Satan planted in your life before you were saved, or it's thing you're doing after you're saved, and you cannot follow God and have those things in your life. There's no such thing as having one hand on Satan and one hand on the Lord. It does not work. The example in the Bible is this. They'd have a thing where they'd have a city gate, and this would be a big wide gate, and people would come in the city, camels and everything would come in with caravan, with their goods and all that stuff. They'd come in the city, no problem. But they closed the city gates at a certain time at night. And if somebody come after they closed the gates, how are they going to get their goods inside the city? Well, there was a little, very tiny gate called the Eye of the Needle. Anybody ever heard of that? The Needle Eye? Well, what they'd do, they'd have to get the camel, unload everything on that camel, take everything off, the saddle, the goods, everything. The camel would have to get down on its, if I can call it, the hands and knees, and struggle to get through that little gate, but it couldn't take anything with it. Then they'd have to go out, bring the goods, carry it through, and do all that routine. And now that's the thing in the Christian life. If we don't come to Jesus with the idea that we want to unload all this stuff and come on our hands and knees to God and say, God, I'm going to allow you to give back to me what you want me to have. And then I want you to add into my life whatever you want me to have. That's the way we have to come to Jesus Christ. We don't come telling him that we're going to carry this stuff with us the rest of our life. We don't tell him any of that stuff. We totally surrender to God. And that's why many people do not follow Jesus. And what happens with a lot of Christians are, I say they're Christians, they don't follow Jesus, so they get into religion. Religion is everything you do that you think God is going to bless you for. So you'll come to church. You make sure to come to church. The Christian life's not working, but you make sure you come to church, get your card punched, so that you can show that card when you get to heaven. And you do all these various things. You might do a lot of stuff for God, but the problem is you haven't allowed God to cleanse you and add to your life what he wants to, and therefore you cannot follow him. In order to be conformed to the image of Jesus, in order to be like Jesus, and then make people like you disciples, you have to give it all up and let him give back what he wants to. Are you listening to me? Now, this is not all of it, but this is part of it. So the first thing is you have to be saved. You have to come to Christ. If you don't come to Christ, you're lost. What do you have to do to go to hell?
Nothing.
What do you have to do to go to hell?
Nothing.
Absolutely correct. If sometime in your life you don't receive Jesus Christ, you will automatically go there. Because that's for people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So if they don't receive Christ sometime in their lifetime, I don't care how good they are, how many times they go to church or anything else, doesn't make any difference. They will be in eternal hell. We do not go to heaven because of what we do. We go to heaven because of what he did on the cross of Calvary, his death, burial, resurrection, and so forth. If we're like Jesus, we'll be with Jesus. If he's in heaven, we'll be there. If he's on the earth, we'll be here. I'm talking about throughout eternity. So the issue is, we are to make disciples. So you're to make disciples. Be conformed to Christ yourself, and then make disciples just like you. Paul didn't have a problem to say, I want you to live like me. He said that. If you want to know how to live on the earth, live like me. Why? Because he had received Christ. Christ had got rid of the demons, the giants in his life. He had taken the word of God. He learned it. He listened to God and he did what God said. And so he said, live like me. How many here could today go to a lost person and say, live like me? You know why some people do not want to be counseled and they don't want to fill out the form? There's something in their life they don't want to put down there. And that something is hindering them from following the Lord. And basically the church has been that way, particularly in the United States, because we've had affluence here and we didn't really need God too badly, just to go to heaven, actually. And the rest of it we can kind of do ourselves, because this country's been rich compared to the rest of the world. And so the church hadn't spoken out. So all of the elements of the flesh we just read there have taken over the newspapers, the media, the movies, and everything else in this land, and now taking over the government of this land. And we sit back and we say, I just don't understand how this happened. Well, it happened because we didn't follow the Bible. That's why it happened and is happening. Can it be turned around? The answer is yes. If we get enough people, make enough disciples, and get this thing turned around quickly, is that ultimately we know the whole thing's going to go down the tube, but that's not our concern. Our concern is to be conformed to the image of Christ, to walk in the Spirit, not in the lust of the flesh, because the things of the flesh, the world and the devil, are opposed to the things of God, you see. And that's why I say if your life has not been transformed, you're in big trouble. Because if our mind is not changed after we get saved, if our mind is not changed by the Word of God, then we will not be changed. You have to be changed to get rewards in heaven, to get to rule and reign with Christ and all the good things the Bible talks about. Otherwise, you'll go there and you're going to have to learn it there. And we've talked about that before. I don't know how to say this more plain than I can. Sin will be pleasurable for a season, but it's never free of charge. Are you listening? Nobody said sin wasn't fun for a while, but there's a price to pay at the end. That's the issue. And so we have got to, particularly in the United States, come to the point where God clean us up, God conform us, God make us what you want us to be, and let's make disciples as long as we can, as many as we can, anywhere we can, in the power of God and not in our power. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, walking in the Spirit is walking with the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the Word of God. You will not change if you're not in the Word. And you will not change if you do not obey the Word. It's great to take the information in. We teach it three times a week here. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm teaching truth. I'm teaching truth. I'm teaching truth. It'll do you absolutely no good if you don't do it. But take notes, write it down. Every time you hear a message, what, God, are you saying to me that I am to do? That's what you want to get out of every message that I preach. God, what do you want me to do with this word? If you don't do that, you won't change and you'll stay the same, coming to drag into church every Sunday morning for the next 20 years. But your life won't change. How many of you know that life's the same? Could somebody say to you, your life has changed since you came to Christ? If your life's the same, your same old habits, same old nonsense, still getting angry, still involved in stuff you know you shouldn't be, there's something wrong. Because what God is going to have up in heaven is a whole bunch of little Jesus running around. That's exactly what he wants. I don't care what you did before. I'm talking about what are you doing now. God doesn't care what you did before. God's not going to bring it up. Jesus died for it at the cross of Calvary. But he doesn't want us to stay that way. You see, I don't know about you. I don't want any slimy demons hanging on to me the rest of my life. You know, and we can get rid of them, you see, in Jesus' name. But we have to start thinking like God. Now, go to Romans 12, 1. I'm just reviewing what I've been teaching since the first of the year because we need to get it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You need to circle these in your Bible, but just don't circle it. Do it. You see. Now, it says, and this is very important, this is how to follow God. Okay? Now, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's coming to God very simply this and saying, God, handcuff me to what you want me to be and what you want me to do. I want to focus on that. I want to be what that is. I don't want to be like the world. The world's going to hell. I don't want to be like the flesh because that's opposed to God. I don't want to be like the devil because he's the enemy of God and will end up in eternal hell. And everybody that follows him will be there too. You say, I don't follow God. I don't follow the devil. Well, if you got any of that stuff of the flesh in your life, you're part of you is following the devil. Are you listening to me? Now, what this says is, we're to give our, today, this very minute, give our life to God and say, the rest of my life, God, show me what you want me to do. That's it. You see. I know there's people right here this morning trying to figure out what they're going to do this coming week. You're wasting your time. Because it isn't what you're going to do this coming week, it's what does God want you to do this coming week. Yes, there's basic things we do. We're going to brush our teeth, take a shower, all that kind of stuff, work, do the normal stuff we do, but God wants to be able to direct us in all of this, and if we work someplace, we ought to be making disciples there. Are you listening to me? We ought to be saying, and not with pride or anything else, I can tell you how to follow Jesus. You ought to know that information. I can tell you, whoever it is, that how to follow Jesus. Now it goes on. First you give your life to God. When you come and get saved, see, you're like a sacrifice. You're like on the altar of God. And God, do anything with me you want me to do. Okay? Unless you've done such a great job before you came to Christ. Okay? Now, here's the second part. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
Of your what?
Mind.
Okay. Your mind tells you what to do. If I want to lift my hand, my mind tells my hand to lift. If I want to put my foot out, my mind told my foot to do that. The foot didn't do it on its own. My mind told me. Your mind controls your life. Whatever you put in there controls what you do. You know, that's just the way it is. You could go to the school of God or the school of the devil. Whichever one you went to, your mind would tell you to be like that person. You see. And that's what it's saying. Be not transformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove 100% what is the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. People say, I don't know what God wants me to do. It's because you're not allowing the Word of God to transform your mind into thinking like God, and then He will begin to show you, begin to tell you, this is how we change. You know, if the old way is working so great for you, just keep trying it. You know, the key to change is this. You present your body to Christ. You give yourself to the Lord. You let God clean up your life. You get rid of the giants. You get rid of that mess. When Jesus, the picture is Israel going into the promised land, and God said, run every giant out of there. Kill every single one of them. Don't let any of them live. Don't let them get away. Kill them. Kill those things in your life. Don't let those things control your mind and control what you're doing. You know, somebody murders somebody and they get caught and they say, I just don't understand how I did that. Well, I can understand how you did it. You had a mind that was being controlled by the enemy and you did something stupid. That's what it was. Now, there are times in people's lives when they start over. God's done everything He can. He said when He shed His blood, when you come to Christ, He exchanges His righteousness for your sin, and in your spirit, you're 100% saved forever. Period. But in your soul, in your mind, in your will, and in your emotions, that has to be renewed, changed, transformed. Get rid of the giants. The giants aren't in your spirit. They're right here. Mind, in your will, in your emotions, and in your physical body. If you're a Christian, they cannot affect your spirit. They can't affect you, but they can sure control your life, because whoever controls your mind controls you. You got it? That's why the devil's taken over all the media, why he's taken over movies, why he's taken over television, why he's taken over all these things. You can't watch a show. I don't care if it's building a house or whatever it is, without two guys being married in the dumb thing or something else. They have taken the thing over. And so if you watch it long enough, you'll just say, well, it must not be too bad. So many people are doing it. You understand what I'm saying? And your mind's going to be all messed up. And I don't care if it's politically correct or not. Homosexuality, and anybody that practices it on when they die, are going to hell. You can quote me in the newspaper if you want to, and they can come and haul me away. But I'm going to tell you this, truth is truth. I don't care what anybody says but the Word of God. Now, I don't hate those people. Don't get me wrong. I don't hate them. I pray for them. I feel bad for them. You know, somebody says, well, you know, Christians just hate homosexuals. That's not true. But what they're doing is killing them. Yes. And sending them to hell. And I'm not going to get excited about that, you see. And so, anyway, I'm going to tell you what this is like. I'm going to tell you what it is to give your life to God. Now, if you happen to listen to Chuck and I on the radio this week, you heard this, but go to Ruth in the Old Testament. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. And it's going to take me a little time to develop this today, but just hang in there. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. How many came to hear the truth today? Well, I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste a minute of your time. I want to tell you the truth. Anybody can do this. I was the worst sinner in this place. And God turned me around. I'm just going to tell you right now. Okay, Ruth chapter 1. Joshua judges Ruth. In verse 16, Ruth was a Moabitess. They were Gentiles. They were lost. They worshipped idols. They were a mess. They hated Israel. They hated the things of God. That ought to tell you something. But her wife, but Naomi and her husband and her two sons had moved to Moab. And while they were there, the husband died, the two sons died, and that left Naomi by herself with her two daughter-in-laws. One of them decided to stay there, but Ruth said, I want to be like you. There was something about Naomi that drew Ruth to her, and that something was God. And here's what Ruth said. Now remember, by saying this, she's going to die to her old life. She's going to die to everything she was. She's going to die to her culture. She's going to die to her family. She's going to die to everything. By making this statement that she makes in chapter 1, verse 16. And here's what Ruth said. Entreat me not to leave you or turn away from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. She had made a disciple, folks. She's made a disciple. Ruth said, then she goes on, verse 17, where you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried. The Lord do to me and more also, if anything but death part me and you. So you say, boy, that's extreme. No, that's the Christian life. That's it. God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Wherever you want me to be, I'll be. You will be my God. Your people will be my people. And that's going to be the most important focus and the most important thing in my life. Do I hear an amen? Amen. That's the commitment we make as Christians, whether you knew it or not. God didn't say hang on to this and do this. He doesn't want you to be opposed to your family or any of that kind of stuff. But I'm just saying you have to make that kind of a commitment. Then, secondly, after you make a commitment to God, you have to get rid of the giants in the land. But that's not necessarily the second thing, but it's right in there. And then the third thing is conform yourself to the Word of God. The only way I know to do it is, unless you're an avid reader and you're going to read every single day for an hour a day and study it on your own, we teach it three times a week, and the reason we teach it three times a week is to help people renew their mind. Not help them get information, help them renew their mind so they will do it in their life, so that they'll become like Christ, so that when you go to heaven, they'll be received with joy. That's it. That's what it's all about. And you cannot come and sing praises to God and say, oh, it was a wonderful service, and then go home and live in the flesh the rest of the week and become like Jesus Christ. It's impossible. So, after salvation, after we're born again, Satan's going to try to deceive us. He's going to try to mess you up. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ until you change the way you think about everything. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll just take homosexuality for an example. If you think that's an okay lifestyle, you are thinking like the devil. I don't care how many nice people, quote, are involved in it. God said it will destroy a land that publicly accepts homosexuality as being normal. That country will go down the tube. God says a country who publicly and sometimes pays for abortions will cease to be a country. Because it will destroy the foundations of everything, not only in life, but also in that country. And I'm not putting down people's had abortions. There's probably people in there that's had them. God can forgive that. But the issue is, if we're a Christian, our thinking should tell us that is not correct. You see. And we haven't stood up for it. So between 40 and 50 million babies have died since 1963 in this country. Do you think this country is going to get away with that with God? Absolutely not. The hammer's going to fall. And so we have to get our thinking correct. And when people start talking about abortion and thinking it's okay lifestyle, you said, wait a minute. The Word of God says that that will destroy the country. Wait a minute. Jesus said that he brought life onto the earth and man is not to destroy it. And they say, well, you know, it's okay because the world's overpopulated and we're just trying to control the population. No, you're just trying to live like the devil because the world's not overpopulated. You could put every single person in the world in 1 foot of space in the state of Texas. Now, come on. We believe this stuff because we've heard it in school, we've heard it on TV, we've heard it in other places, and the only place you're going to get the truth is the Word of God. You see, that the world is not overpopulated. The only reason that people die of starvation in this world is because of politics, not because there's not enough food. We send food to countries, the government won't pass it out. And the people die. Why? Because they want the people to die. Come on. We have to start thinking like God. We're so hung up in the world that we don't know what the truth is. That's the problem. Or don't know what time it is or whatever. All right, now. So we have to let God change our thinking. So my question is, who's your teacher? Who's your teacher? Where are you getting your information from? You getting it from television? You getting it from the movies? You getting it from secular schools? You getting it from secular magazines? Are you getting it from God? God's word's the only one that's going to count. Are you listening to me? The rest of us is going to be burned up in eternal hell. Now, so there's a whole lot more to Christianity. Oh, I accepted Christ 20 years ago and I cried and I went through all kinds of emotion. Well, God bless you. But have you changed? Then it hadn't done you much good, you see. So I don't know, this mamby-pamby Christianity in this country is an absolute, God said, I'm going to vomit it out of my mouth. Are you listening? So we got to start standing up for the truth, but we have to know the truth, because when you know the truth and do the truth, then it'll set you free. Not just knowing the truth will set you free. You got to do the truth. There's a lot of people in this country know that this country is going in the wrong direction, but they're not doing anything to change it. You see. And so, we got to pick up this manual. We got to study it. We got to know what it says. We got to meditate on it. You know, somebody says, well, you know, people don't agree on the Bible. Well, you wouldn't know what the truth was if you don't know the Bible yourself. And we don't have to know every little thing that's in here, just the basic things that I'm talking about right now. And that's why I teach the Word, teach the Word, teach the Word, teach the Word. My job is make disciples. My job is not to preach a good message. It is to make disciples. And that's what I'm attempting to do in the name of Jesus. Now, you have to know the Word. You have to obey the Word. Let me put it this way. What you think on in your mind is what you'll do. What you think on in your mind is what you'll do. Some preacher used a pie. I think he loved apple pie or something. And so he had an apple pie in the refrigerator, and he decided to come out and take it out and have a piece. Well, he cut that piece of pie out and he ate it. That was all right. But then he saw some rugged edges on some of the rest of the pie. So he said, well, I better cut those off. Doesn't look good. So he cut those off and ate them. And pretty soon, he ate the whole pie. His wife said, what happened to my pie? That's the way the things of the flesh are. If you mess around with those things, you just get involved a little bit more and a little bit more, and what you focus on, you're going to do. If you focus on that apple pie in the refrigerator, guess what's going to happen? You're eventually going to eat that pie. It's a truth of Scripture. What you focus on is what you will become. Who you hang out with is what you're going to be like. What you read is what you're going to become. I'm finding something interesting at garage sales. I'm finding fewer and fewer and fewer Christian books. It's the most amazing thing. When I first started going to those things years ago, you'd find Christian books all over the place. But now, very seldom. So what's that tell me? And I see books on everything else imaginable. That tells me that there's fewer and fewer Christians, though there's a whole lot of religious people. Oh, there's a lot of religious people. In fact, most people are religious, but they're not Christians. Most people would tell you, well, it's a good thing to go to church. I said most people, whether they go or not, they would tell you it's a good thing. So, everything we focus on has a consequence, good or bad. We're in charge. Jesus said, if you look upon a woman and lust after her, you have committed adultery. And then we wonder why we're not growing in the Lord. If you're a man, you have to practice on looking at a woman above her shoulders, if you understand what I'm saying. It's what you focus on, you see. And if we're not growing, then something needs to change in our life, you see. The Word of God has to be the final authority. And I'm going to stop right there today. I'm going to finish this up next time.